March 14, Pi Day has passed. But Pi is a potent symbol, showing us how to embrace imperfection, uncertainty, and simply the inherent limitations of human knowledge. Hello, 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 and welcome to More Than Money, a podcast where we have nuanced conversations about money, business, and life, where we take the time to explore the human side of money, because success with money is never just about the numbers. I'm your host, Jacquette Timmons, and I am really, really glad that you are joining me today. So whether this is your very first episode or one of many, welcome and welcome back. And before I get into today's episode, I know that I have extended invitations to explore working with me one-on-one, whether it is in my one-on-one coaching capacity or joining me in my biannual pricing masterclass. And yet, I haven't actually taken the time to describe what it is like to work with me. So stay tuned because I am working on an episode to give you some behind the scenes for that, just in case, you know, you might be interested. But in the meantime, let's get into today's show. So a few weeks ago, I had a breakfast meeting and I greeted my companion with Happy Pi Day. Yes, I know it is a little corny, but it was March 14th after all. So, you know, hashtag math nerds unite. But, you know, Pi Day isn't just recognized by math enthusiasts and math nerds. And if you spent any time on social media on that Thursday, you actually saw proof of this because quite a number of people were commemorating the day and sharing the kind of pie, P-I, in quotation marks, they planned on enjoying, whether it was a pizza pie or actually a pie pie. And all of that is really just a way of confirming that Pi Day is indeed a full-on cultural phenomena. But on the off chance, you know, that you may need a refresher because it's been quite a very long time since you've taken geometry, Pi is a mathematical constant that represents the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. And if you know the pi symbol, you know, it's like a little thing and two things right like that. For those of you that are listening as opposed to watching, you'll just have to Google the pi symbol if you don't remember what it is. But it is an irrational number, meaning that its decimal representation goes on infinitely without repeating or terminating. And it begins with 3.14, 3.14. Hence, March 14th. And I am pretty certain that I am not the only person who finds aspects of pi intriguing beyond the realm of STEM. Like, what a potent symbol for embracing imperfection, uncertainty, and the inherent limitations of human knowledge. Really, what a great reminder of the beauty that can be found in the randomness and in the complexities of life. And as I was walking home from breakfast and reflecting on the conversation that my breakfast companion and I had, I couldn't help but think about how Pi can also remind us of the inherent imperfection and unpredictability found in the natural world. And yet, isn't it interesting that you and I can often get tripped up by the goal of pursuing perfection, often at the expense and rather than excellence, or the goal of wanting to be perfect rather than embracing being enough as we are where we are? And perhaps it's a bit unfair for me to pose these questions to you, but there is a reason why I raise them. I raise them being fully aware of my own tendency to sometimes fall into the rigid, you know, perfectionist trap. And I know that I am not alone with that. And it is, for me anyway, particularly so when it comes to my standards and self-criticism and the need for control in my life, in my business, and with my money. Even though I know full well that there really isn't such a thing as perfect, quote unquote, anything. There's not a perfect life. There isn't a perfect business, a perfect body, a person, a perfect relationship. I could go on and on and on. And during those moments when I forget that there isn't a singular definition of perfection, when I forget that truth, all I have to do is look at how nature behaves, because nature's beauty is really found in its uniqueness and its adaptability. And so I started wanting to explore this connection more because, you know, that's the way my mind works. And I also started wanting to explore and do a little digging into the connection between perfectionism and toxic positivity. And yes, these are two very, very distinct concepts, but they intersect and reinforce each other in a variety of ways because they both tend to involve unrealistic expectations, involve negative self-talk, and also invite you to suppress your emotions. And so from my perspective, this interplay between perfectionism and toxic positivity can contribute to your stress and to your anxiety, especially with regard to your financial goals, how you are experiencing your financial journey, and your overall financial well-being. But before I delve into what it is, you know, that I have been noodling on and this idea that I am exploring, and admittedly, it is not entirely fleshed out. It is something that I am doing in terms of like thinking out loud, if you will, and I am sharing that out loud thinking with you. But before we go into all of that, excuse me, let's first get on the same page regarding the definition of toxic positivity. And let's take that from a definition courtesy of Psychology Today. So from them, quote, toxic positivity is the act of avoiding, suppressing, or rejecting negative emotions or experiences, end quote. And in the context of money, especially personal and business finances, toxic positivity can manifest in various ways, ultimately hindering your ability to address any financial setback or losses that you're contending with. And in the process, they also tend to, you know, prompt you to dismiss the emotions that come with that, right? The emotions of fear, of anger, of anxiety, of shame, etc. And my point in bringing this all up is that we really cannot discount the pressure that we have culturally to be positive. And I raise this because I wonder, have you ever shared a financial setback, a loss, or frustration, and you were greeted with sentiment along the lines of, just stay positive, everything will work out? Or, look on the bright side and be grateful for what you have? Or, everything happens for a reason. Personally, I really, really dislike this one. Or maybe you've been told, well, at least you have, and whatever it is, fill in the blank. Or maybe you've been told, well, you know, others have it worse than you, so you really shouldn't complain. Or here's another favorite, and I say that sarcastically, of mine, you attract what you focus on. Or here's one more, don't dwell on the negative. I'm not faulting the people that say those words to you when you are sharing a disappointment, a loss, or a setback. But despite the good intentions of the people or the person who made or makes those statements to you, I'm gonna venture a guess and say you likely didn't feel all that great when those words landed on your ears. And you wanna know why? Because hearing them ends up shutting down your natural human emotions and reactions. And in varying ways, your very valid feelings, they were dismissed, they were ignored, and or they were outright invalidated, especially your feelings of fear and anger. And to top it all off, along with that, you were very likely guilt-shamed in the process. But you know what? I'm talking about you hearing those words coming externally, but maybe the voices expressing those sentiments didn't actually come from others. Maybe they are what you said to yourself. Either way, not allowing yourself to fully process your negative emotions, it's never useful and it's definitely never beneficial. And again, there is just no doubt that we have a cultural tendency to value maintaining a positive attitude, perhaps excessively. And where money is concerned, this can show up as denying or downplaying the financial challenges and the struggles with which you are contending, or downplaying the need and therefore you don't ask and seek help. And if you're running or growing a business, you know, this can show up as not admitting that your business model isn't working, or it can quote unquote force you to sell to an audience that you actually don't really feel connected to. The pressure to maintain a positive attitude or to quickly skip over the negative feelings that you may be having is very real. And, you know, I use the word positive and negative when it comes to emotions and feelings, et cetera, but I actually prefer when I don't, because it's a spectrum, or at least that's how I look at it. It's a spectrum. And when we preface it with positive or negative, we can sometimes make it seem as if one is better than the other, as opposed to just really embracing the fact that it is indeed a spectrum. So again, the pressure to remain positive is really real. And in part, because of this optimism, it is so incredibly necessary to remember that we do need to be positive when it comes to like shifting your current reality to the future vision that you want. But you have to just, you know, walk that very fine line. So here again comes the nuance of life, right? So yes, it is important to cultivate a positive mindset through practices such as gratitude and mindfulness and self-reflection and all of that. But you have to be on the lookout for when you've crossed that line, for when this morphs into toxic positivity. And so that may sound really abstract. So let me share a couple of examples that I've thought about that might even bring this, you know, home a little bit more, make it more concrete. So since I have your attention regarding the presence and the danger of toxic positivity, here are a few examples, three in particular, that I just want you to be on the lookout for yourself, or when you are the person that's listening to someone share with you their experiences, so that you can maybe alter how you respond in a way that is maybe even more supportive. So the first one is ignoring financial problems. Is there a financial difficulty or hardship that you are minimizing? Or is there one on the horizon? But because you are avoiding taking the time to look at your numbers, you can't see it now when you are in a much better position to get a head start on addressing whatever the underlying issue may be. So that's one. Here's another: oversimplifying solutions. Let's say you have overwhelming consumer-related credit card debt, or you have an extremely dry pipeline for new business. Both situations require being deliberate with the choices that you make. Both require perhaps making trade-offs that you would rather not. And both necessitate taking concrete actions to move beyond where you are currently. So in other words, you can't simply think your way through to the ultimate outcome that you desire and need. And then here's a third example: glossing over risks. Most people only focus on risk through the lens of what they could potentially lose. So toxic positivity shows up in this instance in that, you know, you are not paying attention to when you are taking risks without considering the potential downsides or consequences, but because you're doing it under this guise of positive thinking or having faith in the future. And as the Quaker proverb says, and there are probably very many others and different practices, when you pray, move your feet. But there's another risk that I think people don't pay much attention to. And this is what I call the opportunity cost risk. So in this instance, toxic positivity is showing up because you haven't paid attention to the growth that you might lose out on under the guise of playing it safe. But the reality is, both scenarios put you in a position where it could lead to financial harm because you're not paying attention. And I think I miscounted. I think I said that was my third. I do have another one. And it is self-blame, or allowing others to blame you. When you are going through a particularly challenging time, financially or otherwise, you may criticize yourself. Others may do the same. And whether that criticism is valid or not, one thing isn't appropriate, in my opinion, and that is blame. There is certainly no room for blame. And the problem with victim blaming is that it often fails to recognize the systemic barriers and the external factors that are sometimes beyond your control that may have contributed to what you are bumping up against, the financial struggles, the challenges, et cetera, with which you are contending. And I think we as a culture forget that one can do all of the right things and still find themselves in a financial pickle. And we don't have to go too far back in memory to just even think about the financial effect and impact immediately that some people and families and companies had at the start and navigating through, you know, the deepest parts of the pandemic. Those some people did all of the right things and still found themselves struggling. And so that is why bringing this all back to, you know, the pie and helping us lean into this, that is why I think it is really helpful to tap into the wisdom of Pi. And remember earlier, I mentioned how Pi can remind us of the inherent imperfection and unpredictability found in the natural world. Well, I think it is such an appropriate analogy to hold on to when it comes to thinking about the intersection of money, business, and life. All of which, on their own, and certainly as a concatenation, comes with a string of unexpected moments and results. It reminds you and me, yes, to strive for excellence in all of our endeavors, but not to do so with the intent of everything being flawless, because flawlessness, is that what I'm trying to say? I hope you get what I'm trying to say. My point is this. It's not helpful to pursue flawlessness because not even nature is flawless, at least not in the traditional sense of the word. And the challenge before you and me is to balance the positivity and the optimism that we absolutely need with realism. And to feel or help someone else feel valued and supported in the process. And before I close out, I want to be really clear about something. It is really, really important to point out that toxic positivity is not the same as resilience. Not the same at all. And you know, while I'm at it, maybe next time I'll talk about and go on a rant and you can help me or listen to me think out loud about toxic frugality, because I definitely have some thoughts on that too. But in the meantime, and for now, let's wrap it up for today. And that is it. And as always, I thank you for listening, or if you are watching on YouTube, for taking the time to join me there as well. And if you'd like to show appreciation for this podcast, or maybe even this particular episode, I would love it if you would take a moment and share it with someone else. And if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, and you haven't rated, you know, given us a rating or written a review, please take the time to do that as well, because, you know, A, we do read them, and B, it helps us with the algorithm, and, you know, we all need that. And if you are watching on YouTube, please take a moment to leave a comment below. As always, if you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/Jacquette. buymeacoffee.com/Jacquette. I will be back with another episode. I hope you will join me then too. Until then, remember, it's about more than money.